the Public News Service daily newscast for Thursday, December 6, 2019. I'm Eric Tegedoff. A House vote to impeach Trump could come before Christmas. Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced on Thursday that the House would begin drafting articles of impeachment against Trump. She says lawmakers had no choice but to act, and that allowing Trump to stay in office would come at the peril of our republic. Democrats have charged the president withheld military aid to pressure Ukraine into digging up dirt on Trump's potential rival, Joe Biden, in the 2020 election. Hours later at a news conference, Pelosi erupted after a reporter asked if she hated the president. The speaker shot back that the U.S. Constitution was the issue at hand, and that, as a Catholic, she doesn't hate anyone. For the second time in less than 3 months, young people around the world are in the streets today to take part in a global youth climate strike, urging cities to take action. Mark Richardson reports from Arizona.
Rallies organized by the Global Youth Climate Strike are expected to draw thousands of students and their adult allies to local city halls to demand public officials act to fight the climate crisis. Zach Dennis is lead organizer for Arizona Youth Climate Strike. He says other than just showing up, they will make specific demands of local elected officials.
We want cities of Arizona to declare climate emergencies and make climate action plans that are in line with the science on climate change. Climate change is happening, and it's going to happen whether we like it or not, so we think cities should be prepared for it.
Dennis says he expects students and their adult allies, including workers, educators, scientists, and politicians, to be at his group's event in Peoria in the West Valley.
Peak flu season is here, when most people check in with their doctors about whether to get a flu shot. But for migrants being held in detention centers, that isn't an option, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection has refused to offer the flu vaccine to detainees.
Now, a group of physicians from across the country is pushing the federal government to allow the group to open a pilot flu vaccination clinic. Dr. Danielle Dynas signed the group's letter to government officials advocating for migrant access to free flu vaccines. She says detention centers are high-risk settings for severe flu cases.
So you've taken a very high-risk, vulnerable population, and then you've put them into these very unsanitary conditions where you then have people who are surrounding them who may or may not have flu vaccines and may not know the right precautions to take, and it's just kind of a recipe for disaster.
She said so far the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Department of Health and Human Services have ignored the request. The traveling clinic would be run by a volunteer network of doctors with a donated stock of vaccines and a multi-language consent process. Anyone who is considering getting a flu shot should consult with their medical provider. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. Maine's relationship with Native American tribes is different from other states, but that could soon change.
Maine treats tribal nations as municipalities rather than sovereign nations, which is unique among the states. Today, a task force votes on modifying the Maine Indian Claims Settlement Implementing Act. Tribes currently follow state law except for internal tribal matters, some criminal cases, natural resources, and gaming rights, among other legal areas. Representative Donna Bailey, House co-chair of the task force, explains the reasoning behind the potential legal changes.
What the tribes have really asked for us to look at is to try to bring their status in line with general federal Indian law.
The law was first enacted by Congress in 1980 to settle a legal dispute between the tribal nations and the state of Maine.
That was Laura Ross-Brautellum reporting. In McDowell County, West Virginia, access to clean tap water is a challenge for many. That's why one community is trying something different, a new technology called hydropanels.
Linda McKinney, who heads the Five Loaves and Two Fishes Food Bank in Kimball, joined with manufacturer Zero Mass Water to have 24 hydropanels installed at her facility last month. They'll produce clean drinking water, about 950 gallons a month. McKinney says it's a much-needed boon to local residents who otherwise rely on sometimes contaminated water from decaying coal company water systems.
You're dealing with some systems that the piping is 100 years or more old, and there was no funding, no money, no tax base to take care of those systems. So the food bank is so excited to be asked to be a part of this.
She says the hydro panels are like solar panels, but instead of using sunlight to create electricity, they pull moisture from the air and filter it with sunlight to produce clean water. I'm Diane Bernard.
an indoor vertical farm in Jackson, Wyoming that produces and sells roughly 100,000 pounds of fresh produce annually, is powered by a workforce built on the concept of diversity. Eric Galatis has more.
Nearly two-thirds of Vertical Harvest's workers face disabilities, including autism, Down syndrome, or vision, speech, and learning impairments. Caroline Croft Este is the company's co-founder and says inclusive, integrated workplaces are game-changers for businesses because they bring in new energy. Everybody is excited to clock in.
They're ready to work. They're on time. They work hard. And it's really shifts the culture and kind of raised the bar for all of us, creating this really beautiful, fluid workplace where everybody works together and works hard.
The three-story hydroponic operation produces as much food as a traditional five-acre soil farm year-round and with a lot less water.
I'm Eric Tegeda for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.